Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 19th of May, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. We're going to be checking in with Rod and Roddy later to get a check on the traffic situation. And now let's go over and talk to Al about weather.
Al Nino with the weather. What do you got for us today, Al?
Al Nino. Wow, that's a good one. Is that a real one?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded good.
I like that. Oh, my God. I like that.
All right.
You're going to steal it.
All right.
I have no idea what's happening.
You don't. And for the three other people who also know what's happening, I hope you have enjoyed this morning zoo theater that Brian and I occasionally put on for your daily observations. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com and let us know if you would like more of that or would like us to please cease.
Okay, I'll send my email now.
Yeah, I know.
I can hear Charlotte typing already.
I'm going to guess at the predominance of content of those emails.
Yeah, we'll see. we're here. Like I said earlier, to talk about the Apple Store. So 20 years ago today,
Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play.
I was just going to say that. Sergeant Pepper opened a retail store and all of us kind of dug it. Has a good beat. You can dance to it. I give it an 86. So the thing that I think gets forgotten in the story of Apple retail is the climate that Apple retail stepped into when it was new. When we started hearing that, like, Apple might have retail stores and why would they do that? And that seems really weird. And Brian, I think you were, like, actually covering it at the time. I was mostly still a spectator at that point. But I know you probably wrote a fair amount about this as it was unfolding.
I did. I can sum it up in four words, three. Well, one of the contractions, so I guess it's three words.
Okay.
It'll never work. That was the mainstream attitude that, you know, Apple's lost its mind. And it's not just Apple stepping into retail at the time. Apple itself was still considered beleaguered. Mm-hmm. Right. Apple was considered to be in trouble. And what are they doing? And now they're just throwing away this money. And Kyle Dodario, my very good dear friend at Kyle Dodario, who was our first salaried employee at the Mac Observer. He ended up being one of the very first geniuses hired.
That was
extremely bittersweet.
Oh, I bet.
It turns out, by the way, Apple pays more than T-Mobile Incorporated for those keeping score at home. So the point being that, what is my point? I have, like, trains going. The point being that there was a lot of skepticism. That Apple was being compared to Gateway. Do you remember Gateway?
Vaguely.
Because Gateway had all of their retail stores, and they were supposed to be a big deal, but they were basically collapsing left and right.
Yeah.
And Gateway was essentially getting out of the retail business, or in the process of getting in out of the retail business when Apple was getting into it. So there was a lot of, like, you know, Dell's got this right. You got to sell stuff online. That's the only way to do it. LOL, Apple. Yeah. You know, like,
obviously
Gateway was
retail
falling.
Stores for computers don't work because Gateway failed at it. So why would anyone else try ever doing anything like an in-person store for Apple stuff ever? That's ridiculous. Yeah,
there was a lot of skepticism, a lot of pushback, a lot of resistance, a lot of scorn, all heaped on Apple for its retail initiative. And I don't think I was personally thrilled by Apple doing this, because that meant we were going to have a good place to be able to go and buy Apple stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other thing, too, is don't forget the years where Apple experimented using CompUSA.
Right.
Right. They had the CompUSA
store
stores
within
a store.
Yep.
And that was essentially Apple playing, you know, dress up rehearsal for doing its own retail initiative. Now, the people that worked at the CompUSA stores within a store were a mix of Apple employees and contractors, third-party contractors. Mm-hmm. And but Apple, you know, learned a lot about that consumer process from that entire experiment, and it didn't save CompUSA in the end, but it did help Apple launch its own stores. And it was, it was, I think it's easy to forget how doubtful everyone was at the time when Apple was doing this, and actually for many years to come, there was still a lot of doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This happened, I think, I'm trying to remember when in 2001, because 2001 is also when we got Mac OS X. And I can't remember when in the year that happened, but it was sort of like we got...
It was early in the year.
Okay.
And iPod was introduced in 2001.
Yeah.
And of course, we had that little thing called 9/11 in 2001.
Right. And let's see. So, yeah, the iPod was October, I think.
I could say it was actually September.
Okay.
That it was announced, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, September, October, but the fall.
Famously wrong about saying that the iPod needed to be larger, that Apple was making a mistake releasing it at 5 gigs.
That's true. I think. I mean,
a couple of years hot off of my excellent piece where I said that Steve Jobs had done enough to save Apple and should go back to somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. So he
nailed it.
Yeah. He so Steve came back in summer 1997. And then
introduced iMac in 98.
Yeah, the iMac was the gumdrop iMac.
That was actually 97, wasn't it?
I think so.
Tap, tap, tap.
Yeah, now I don't remember. But the gumdrop iMac was like right after he came back, we got new, awesome, colorful computers. Nobody had ever seen anything like it before. You know, banishing beige from computing, which was nice. So 98. Like that was one of the first things sold in the Apple stores was the gumdrop iMac. In all those colors, because I think in 2001 we got more colors of it and you could go see them in person first and, you know, pick out the one you wanted. And then like not long after the Apple stores opened was when iPods were available in Apple stores. You could go see them in person and do things with them. It was pretty interesting. Now, Charlotte, you wrote about this morning, and I wondered if there was anything that maybe you discovered or thought was interesting about the debut of Apple Retail, because I don't think you were interested in it at the time.
Well, so I took a trip down memory lane this morning, and actually it was really fun. And I spent, 4 minutes or whatever watching the video from Steve Jobs, where he actually showed you the first Apple store in Tyson's Corner Center in Virginia. And he gave a guided tour at a press event in this video. And two things struck me. One, how much of what we now know in an Apple store is still there. Mm-hmm. And two, how different the Apple stores are now. And I think both things are true.
Yeah.
It was really interesting watching this video and just doing a bit of reading about it. Because the first thing basically that Steve Jobs says is he opens the doors into this first ever Apple retail store was... you can see the whole product line within the first 25% of the store. And if that is not the most Steve Jobs sentence ever, I don't know what is. Like the fact he's thought about it, knows it, that's a thing, deliberate decision, is just so endemic of the thinking that clearly went on into these outlets. Mm-hmm. And I found that fascinating.
Question, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Did you, and while you were... watching the stuff and reading up on it, did you catch the bit about how Apple had built a fake store
No, I saw they showed in this video, because this is the official Apple video. Mm-hmm. So they showed the kind of boarded up bit behind. But they didn't show any of the skullduggery. But as I say, it was interesting seeing the first.
No. They built a fake store to test stuff.
To try it out. Yeah.
Like a drip.
No, they did. They don't show that.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And they spent like a year on it. Like playing with different materials layouts and doing all of these things that we didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can tell from the kind of analyst comment that it wasn't a kind of one more thing moment. This was something that people had known was clearly coming for months and just were waiting to see what it looked like. There were some analysts from the time I read going, this is a terrible idea, as you say, you guys said, and others saying, oh, this is a great idea, why not? Mm-hmm. And so that was already interesting to see. And also I was reflecting, so the first Apple store outside the US, I believe, came a couple of years later, November the 30th, 2003, in Ginza, Tokyo, in Japan. Mm-hmm. And that was followed by the store that meant something to me, which was the Regent Street store in London. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember it opening, but I remember it being a thing. And I remember it being a destination in London. I kind of still is. I wrote in the piece, I kind of still get a bit of a thrill going in that store. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, in the heart of London's shopping district, or a shopping district in London, you know, in the centre of London. And it's this beautiful, opened up, huge store, and it's kind of the heartbeat of Apple in the UK, and it is a kind of pretty amazing space still. I think some of the design elements have been overtaken in other stores. I remember one of the first things I did for you guys at the Mac Observer was do a little guided tour around the Covent Garden Apple store when that opened here in London.
Yeah.
And there have been bits, you know, design developments, Angela Arendt's changed the stores, but as I say, when you look at it, those core elements are still the stores that Steve Jobs had in mind. Look at the video I posted on the website. It's still the iMac spread out on a nice white surface. You can still see all the devices. You can still play with them. He makes a really big fuss that you can get on the internet and go on your own personal website, he says, on the device. And he says, and the portables use AirPort to, you know, for Wi-Fi. And it was kind of... It was really fun to see how this was such a thing. And there's always one anecdote I always think of as well when I think about Apple stores. And this is a bit slightly disingenuous, but I was walking through Oxford Street. It wasn't that long ago. It was, you know, 18 months, 2 years ago, maybe at most. And there was a Microsoft store right near the Tube Centre station, which is one of the busiest stations in London. And the Apple store on Regent Street is about 3-4 minutes down the road. The Microsoft store at this moment was empty, and I'd just come from a packed Apple store. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of made me laugh. And I think hearing your guys' reflection of how people perceived Apple stores or what Apple stores might be misses the point that I think either in hindsight very quickly or they knew Apple got, which was that they weren't just going to be about selling stuff. They were going to be a kind of hub for people who were into these products. Mm-hmm.
Well said. Charlotte, when we were sort of planning this show or having the conversation that became this show yesterday, you quipped, okay, boomer, as we were talking about the stuff at the time. And I think that's actually what cemented the idea that we would have the two of us here is this very different perspective. But my question to you is, as a, you know, a younger person, you were a little girl when these.
So 2001, I was, kind of still at secondary school.
Yeah. So, I mean.
13, 14.
At what point did Apple stores essentially become a, you know, they've always been their fixture for you? Or did they?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it very well, but do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, no, I do. And like the idea of this Apple store on Regent Street, and when you went there for your Christmas shopping or whatever, that there was this massive Apple store there, I think was a thing. It's easy to kind of romanticize in hindsight, but I think that was a thing. But it was also a thing that it was so busy. There was a bit of an Abercrombie and Fitch vibe, you know, that it was so busy you kind of couldn't really get in, and you know, you would go and buy your computer from somewhere else because it was actually more complicated to get to an Apple store or whatever. But
and were there lines for products?
I think so.
Do you remember that for years?
The original iPhones, there definitely would have been. I'm sure you can find clips online of people
and iPads or iPods too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure in London you can find clips from people queuing a long way down the road, and even, you know, with the classic sleeping outside for iPhones and all of that. I'm sure all that happened in London. And I think I don't want to speak out and get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure like people sort of made that Apple store a pilgrimage when Steve Jobs passed away as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. That would make sense.
Well, very, very interesting to me to get that generational perspective from you on this. And I for people who are even younger, like not even being able to remember a time when Apple stores weren't ubiquitous.
Aren't a thing, yeah.
When I was reading about it and writing this piece, the thought struck me, and I'd love to get you guys' thoughts on this, is obviously for most of this year, Apple stores have been closed. Mm-hmm. I did a piece about what it's like to go into the Apple store during a pandemic when I picked up my new iPhone and my new Apple Watch, and I actually thought they handled it all really well, certainly where I went. But obviously, most of them have been closed for almost 15, 18 months now. Apparently 99% of them worldwide are open now, which is a rather nice indicator that hopefully things are getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. I want to know how much that link between kind of the Apple user community and Apple stores will have been broken in the last year. Are they still going to be a place where people hang out and want to touch and play with new devices that they've never seen before and maybe can't yet afford, but just want to see the new cool thing from Apple or talk to
other Apple? I have an evidence-free prediction, which kind of
perfect.
Like...
perfect. Given the previous predictions we've heard of, I'm very excited.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Hold on. I'd like to point out that I nailed some other... I actually did nail some many, many more. I just felt it was important to mock my wrong ones. All right. But here's an evidence-free prediction, or, you know, like a day that ends in Y for Brian, that Apple stores will be even more popular as people are longing to be around people.
Ah, yeah. Yes. That, I mean, I could definitely see that being a thing. But will it make it, do you think they'll go back to being a community thing? I'm guessing your answer is yes. Or will people start to see them at the surface level as just a retail? It'll be interesting, you know, the events that Apple holds in these stores and the classes and things. I wonder if people are going to want to go back to those.
Well, I think it would also depend on the store. But I think like in places where to date Apple's really popular, I think having those move back to in-store experiences is going to be huge. And I think a lot of people are going to attend, and it's going to be because I think part of that is because a lot of people have a lot of inherent trust and faith in Apple as a company. Like they do the right thing with my data. I know they make good hardware, they make good software, all that kind of stuff. So like I can trust that their stores are going to be okay. I think there might be a certain amount of that. And I think there's going to also be a certain amount of, I can get out of the house, talk to other people about my nerdery in public, which at least in Portland is a thing that lots of people like to do in person. So I can totally see it happening.
Here, though.
Yeah.
And the bigger picture is that Apple has surely been thinking about this in the very same way that they... Apple was already the king of keynote events, right?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs made keynotes a thing. Mm-hmm. And Tim Cook took over the keynotes, and they evolved under Tim Cook as well. And then COVID hit, and they had to completely rethink it, and they did. They didn't just take their stage show and package it. They did something completely different. Mm-hmm. I have... great confidence that Apple has been behind the scenes thinking about what Apple stores are going to be like once COVID restrictions are truly gone. Mm-hmm. And that will probably include some change as well as renewed emphasis here and there and maybe less emphasis there and here.
Yeah.
Here's my partially evidence-based opinion.
Yes.
Prediction. And I think we're probably all kind of agreeing. I think those, like today at Apple events and stuff, which I think we've all attended and seen, mm-hmm. you know, they do some interesting things. There's some good things there. I think more of those will become more important to Apple as a way to get people into the store. Yeah. If you just want a new iPhone or a new Magic Keyboard or something, you're just going to order it.
Right.
But the key for Apple, we host, and it has the capacity to do this, will be getting events that draw people in.
Mm-hmm. I think so. First of all, I agree with that. And second of all, I think part of what Brian said is also going to be true. And that's going to be the evolution of some of these events. I think that maybe today at Apple at Home is not going to go away. There may be less of it. But when it doesn't have to be the primary focus anymore, because everybody can go into a store and sit down next to people, I think that's going to be what they want to do. But I don't think the online component of it is going to go away. That's going to do it for us. The one thing I wanted to say that stood out to me is, Charlotte, the image that you used at the top of your piece shows that original Apple Store and in Tyson's Corner. And the thing that I notice about it is all the software that's on the wall, which I thought was kind of interesting because they don't really do that anymore.
There are books on the shelf, too, whether or not you can see them.
Books, yes. Oh, I remember books.
I don't know if you can see the books in the picture, but there used to be books in the stores.
Books at Apple stores. Yeah, it was interesting. Charlotte, it's very different, but very similar, like at the same time. That's part of why.
So the picture at the top of the piece is the one Apple uses on its website from, I guess, now. Mm-hmm. And the video shows Steve Jobs walking around the original one. So I'll be interested that people can play spot the difference.
Yeah, it's the boxes of software and the books that were on the walls are the thing that stands out to me the most in the difference between the two, sort of. So that's going to do it for us today. I would like to thank Brian and Charlotte for coming by. I appreciate both of you being here. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.